Hello, Joker here, and you're listening to Behind the Panels.
They can be a great people color if they wish to be. They only lack the light to show the way. For this reason, above all, this reason, their capacity for good. I have sent them you. My only son.
My spider senses are starting to tingle.
Just hang on to your lariat.
Wonder what kind of a scene I'm getting into.
And welcome to issue 78 of Behind the Panels, the comic book podcast that can miss a week and still have more content than your average episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm Richard Gray.
I'm David McVeigh.
And Dave Longo.
Or is it the Joker? In this issue, DC continues to tease the 5 years later event. Maybe the gimmick this time around is good stories. And Elizabeth Olsen is the Scarlet Witch officially. Her brother Quicksilver is a lucky guy. Then it's all the latest news, plus our kick-ass pick of the week, Avengers Endless Wartime by Warren Ellis and Mike McCone. All that and more coming up after these very groovy messages. This is Behind the Panels.
The Incredible Hulk meets Captain America. Each a foot tall with flyaway action pack. Assembly required.
Just took up the flyaway pack and here comes Captain A.
Avalanche!
This is a job for the Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk with a waist that's mean, lots of muscle and skin that's green, you can make them fly!
Captain America and the Incredible Hulk, both with flyaway action pack, each sold separately by Mego.
I don't know about you, but I'm calling him Captain A for the rest of my life.
I like how the Hulk's two defining features are he's got muscles and a face that's green, right? He's got muscles and a face that's green.
And a flyaway pack, apparently.
You see him running down the street going, come back!
There's nothing more terrifying to me than the idea of Hulk flying.
You saw Ang Lee's film, didn't you?
That's true.
He doesn't fly, he jumps.
It's as close to flying as he's going to get.
It's falling with style. Fellas, we all had a week off last week. How are we doing?
Oh, pretty good.
I had 2 weeks off.
Actually, we haven't seen you for a while, Mr. Longo. Yeah.
I do apologize about last week. It was a bit of an impromptu week off. It was my fault. We're redesigning the studio, and so it was just all getting the better.
We're reconceiving it as a lemon tree.
And for those who are...
We're inside the tree of life.
And for those listening who have been listening for years and years and years and us complaining... We're air-conditioned now.
Unfortunately, it's actually been freezing cold the last 2 weeks.
It was a great... My wife... I was talking to my lovely wife, Katie, and we were saying, we bought an air conditioner because it was really hot, and then last weekend it rained and it was cold, and this weekend it's rained and it's cold. Good investment.
So now it's a humidifier whenever you want to...
Can we take the opportunity, before we go on and do anything else this week, let's just give a big, big shout-out to our good friend Paul Bedford.
Absolutely.
And congratulate him on the birth of his first son this week.
Yay!
Paul, well done, sir. We know you're an avid listener of the show, and look, you know, we've had you on here, and I've met you at a couple of different conventions, met you at Sydney and Melbourne. Congratulations, mate. You know,
may your first child be a masculine
child. And may your first child be a masculine child. Oh, fantastic. We've had a Godfather reference in the first 5 minutes of the show.
Also a Clerks 2 reference, if people remember.
That's true. I'm very, very happy. Now, let's get on with, you know what we haven't done for a couple of weeks? Is the vintage clip of the week.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. So let's hit the Wayback Machine and fire her up.
At Avenger headquarters, it is as if something unseen is slowly spreading its poisons, edging tempers.
Hawkeye, hands off.
Simmer down, Glamour Pants. I'm just changing a curly fuse.
But you know the rules. Nobody tampers with the equipment except Tony Stark.
Okay, so he lends us his townhouse rent-free. That doesn't make you his official snoop, Grandpa. I'm warning you, you overrated has-been. I've been itching for a chance to change that part of your hair.
No, Hawkeye, don't.
Rats. I'm going out for some fresh air.
Good idea. Come on, Cap.
Oh, dear, why are we always getting into arguments lately? Because my spell of evil is working, Avengers. They are doomed, Power Man, especially Captain America.
What a waste.
I could finish them with power. Why all this sorcery?
Because united the Avengers are strong, but they will not be united long. Come, it is time to begin the attack of the Enchantress.
Don't, Hawkeye, don't.
Don't touch the equipment.
That was a very special episode of Captain America. I'm not going to comment on that anymore. I think that's been
luckily we had the mics down because Longo lost it over there.
That was a losing it equivalent to I'm washing Marsha.
Oh,
I think.
Man, we had mics on for that one.
We've all got tears in our eyes.
Every time this sort of happens, I just envision scenes from Avengers 2. Like,
well, actually, that voice is like, why do we keep fighting? That was Scarlet Witch. So, that was mental. Okay, people.
That was awesome, by the way. That was fantastic. One of the best vintage clips you pulled in a long time.
It was funny. I had a choice between about 3 or 4 different Avengers episodes because the Avengers only appeared together in those 60s cartoons and a handful of them. And I started playing this one randomly. It was the first one I played, and that was the first scene in that episode. And I thought, I found my clip. Okay, fellas, we've had a couple of weeks of before since we've been in here, but we won't go over everything. We'll try and stick to the stuff that's just come out this week. But there's a couple of things that we have been watching, reading, and even playing that we want to mention really quickly. So without any further ado, it's time for a section I like to call what we've been reading, although that's completely inaccurate this week.
Where? Looks like we got ourselves a reader. Read between the lines, bitch.
Can I just say very, very quickly that...
That's quick enough.
Yep, that's it. I just wanted to say very, very quickly.
Yeah,
a couple of big issues came out this week, but nothing massive, massive. There was Cataclysm is ongoing at the moment. It's probably the big event happening at Marvel. Certainly the big event that's happening for the Ultimate Marvel Universe. I've read the first 3 issues, which has basically been the Point One issue, the Ultimates issue, and the Spider-Man issue. It's actually shaping up to be pretty good.
It's actually a really tragically sad series, though, because you know that the results of Cataclysm are they're closing the Ultimate Universe down. And so basically you know that whatever happens, it's all over.
Yeah, who's going to survive? Yeah, who will come over to 616?
Who's coming over to 616? And that's it, that the Ultimate Universe is closed. However, have you guys noticed that they seem to have their own Ultimate Universe forming as well, though, and it's almost like Marvel said, we'll close the Ultimate Universe because we have this other universe happening. Because the cinematic universe seems to be moving into the comic books.
Yes.
Because we actually have a sequence of books now which are a different Avengers, which is the movie lineup, and they don't seem to be tied with anything else. And so you kind of go, they've already got an alternate universe they're playing
with. Which was the original intention of Avengers Assemble until they brought that into the main universe, which is weird.
And because if you know that this week a Thor comic book came out called Crown of Fools.
Yes.
Which is basically from the movie universe.
Yep.
You know, and it's like a one-shot from the movie universe. And you sit there and go, that's their new Ultimate Universe, is they're going to be playing with this movie universe.
Yeah, but they're doing weird things. They brought Coulson into the main universe.
I know.
It's all
very, over the place at the moment.
It's incestuous as Scarlet Witch
Coulson
and Quicksilver.
Coulson shows up in Avengers Assemble. He shows up in... there's another book he's showing up in.
He's just talking about randomly. Like, he's just a character in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, he's a member of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Awesome.
So, I mean, it's good. I mean, obviously... And I think they originally brought him into the comics before they resurrected him for the TV show. So it was kind of comics' way of saying, we know you like the character, let's have him back. But I think they already had their plans for that. Before we go on and talk about what we've been reading, Mr. Longo, you weren't here for our Thor the Dark World episode.
No,
can you tell us in... 10 words or let no. Can you tell us really
quickly? We should put some history on this. David Longo did not like the first Thor movie.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
And we want to know what you thought then of the sequel, which was even more Thorier than ever.
I loved it.
Yay!
Absolutely. And you know why? Because it didn't have all the bad things of the first one. At all.
The funny thing was, I actually thought it was like the first one times 20.
No, times 20 of like the things that were good about the first one. And there was very few of them in the first one. Yeah.
What was it exactly you didn't like about the first one?
Like the extreme melodramatic quality of it, like how serious it took itself, it not being anything like the universe in the comic books, like Asgard was done well. Loki was done well. But it being on Earth in this small Nebraskan town and its cheap quality, and etc.
Yeah, like, I think they were afraid of doing anything cosmic too much at that stage, and obviously that wasn't a problem. Yeah.
However, it's
funny. But like, just quickly, really, like, I think Chris Hemsworth has really come into that character now.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, this is his third time out. Yeah, as well.
Now it's just nailed. But in the first one, there is a bit of
my wife actually came out of Thor: The Dark World, and she's a semi geek. You know, it's like she's got geeky qualities, but she hides it well. You know, but she walked out of
she's
Thor.
A scientist.
She's a scientist, and she does like Star Trek and stuff like that. But she walked out of Thor, which I thought was really interesting, and she went, how is it possible that he can be so handsome, he can be so muscly, and yet be so charming at the same time? And she just walked out, and she goes, Hemsworth just is nailed.
Yeah.
He's got charisma coming out of his butt, you know what I mean?
It's like, I think this might be unfair, but I think Joss Whedon, like, told him how to do it properly.
Oh,
I think in the first one, it's like, you know, be Shakespearean, be dramatic.
Mm.
Like,
well, that's Branagh. Like, that was probably Branagh.
In the first one,
yeah.
I mean, like, what... Like, anyway, we shouldn't get into the first one too much, but it's really bad.
Like, see, I really enjoyed the first one. Because
you got no character development at all with Four, really. The character of Jane Foster is an empty shell.
Yeah, but it's Natalie Portman.
But yeah. No, but I disagree because in the second one it was actually acceptable, you know?
No, but I think her character was better written in the second one as well. You know, I think they all had their characters a little bit more well-rounded.
Let's also not overlook the fact that I think Taylor is actually a really good director. I mean, he's done some amazing work on Game of Thrones.
And that which really is an ensemble piece. Yeah. So he really knew how to deal with those... I mean, you know, Branagh's no slouch at ensemble cast, but I think he may have been a little out of his depth with the.
Well, that's the first time Branagh's ever done something like that scale, as well. I mean, it's just that whole fantasy element to it and everything. I mean, he's working with special effects, which he doesn't really tend to do in the most part.
Which is probably why he set most of it on Earth.
Well, exactly. No. And I think what Taylor did was he took Branagh's designs, Branagh's concepts, but he gave it that kind of slightly darker look. He made Asgard look lived in rather than all shiny.
Yeah, it was like, I think I have the way to summarize exactly how I feel about it. Like, in the first one, it was back in that phase one, like, they had this reticence to be like, you know, let's do what makes these comics great. Like, there's this sort of element of, well, let's just coast into it. Like, let's let everybody get, you know, used to this concept. And you know, so it's just sort of lacking elements. Now in this the Dark World, there's this confidence there, you know, like, we can do this. Mm. People do like this. Like, let's show what is great about this. You know, like, all the realms. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Remember a couple of weeks ago I said to you guys, like, I hate how it's called the Dark World?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just, it gives this impression of, like, oh, we're hiding behind what makes it great.
Yeah,
like, let's call it something else. And then you see the movie and it's just realm this, realm that. They never say world once. And you're kind of like, we actually had not one, but two sequences where it went through, like, the world tree, all the realms. And you just seen them going, like, oh my god, like, this is happening.
I remember
like
sitting...
the Battle of Asgard.
This is happening.
I turned up to my friends in the screening, like, when Heimdall was running, like, on the Rainbow Bridge.
Mm. Oh, he leaps just, with, like, the with the knife.
Like, I can't believe I'm watching this happen in a cinema. Like, it was just mind blowing to me. And the fact that they didn't get to Earth until, like, halfway through the movie was just like, they're really doing it. Like, they're just not pretending otherwise.
Actually said to David in the first time we went and saw it, I turned around and said, well, they're knee deep in the cosmic stuff now.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, like, there's no tell. Like, this is the gateway to Guardians.
We had a Star Wars-esque style spaceship battle in the middle of it, you know, and you sit there going, this is awesome, you know. And Asgard has laser turrets.
Yeah.
You know? Like, no, it was
amazing.
I think we can summarize everything we've just said by saying it was a comic book film.
The first, and probably
one of the first ones that's not been ashamed of that fact, because they'd had seven films behind it that really let them.
I think Captain America and the Avengers told them or gave them license to say it's okay to make a comic book into a film.
Yeah.
And then they went, then let's do it.
There weren't so many stupid Dutch angles, you know?
Well, that's a very Branagh thing.
And the Kenneth Branagh stuff is what really honestly annoyed me about the first one.
Right.
Where it's just like, it's the same thing with Shane Black and Iron Man 3. And I'm not the biggest supporter of Iron Man 3. I don't hate the movie. But I have this sort of feeling like, you know, don't get this kind of auteur-driven work here. You know, like, let's get someone like Joss Whedon who will respect the material.
It's really interesting
because
I like Thor and I loved Iron Man 3.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing about Iron Man 3. It's kind of like, you know, it's more of a Shane Black movie than it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad thing. It's just kind of like, you know, let's shy away from what makes this right.
Great film. I'm actually going to see it again because I think if you see it in cinemas now in Australia, we didn't get this deal originally, but we're getting the 10-minute preview of Captain America as well, the Winter Soldier, which is something that
I'm dying to see.
We didn't get in the original run. It was always one of those things like the US got the shawarma scene in Avengers and we didn't get that. But now we're actually, it's only in certain cinemas here. So I've already seen it twice. I'm going to go see it again.
I'll see it again.
I love it. Other stuff that's come out this week, just quickly, there's a new addition to the Marvel Knights lineup. It's an X-Men title because we need another X-Men book, like a hole in the head.
There's actually two new X-Men books.
Well, the other X-Men book was X-Men Gold. Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah. Well, that's really just a special to celebrate the 50th. Because Battle of the Atom failed us all.
I finally finished it, by the way.
Yay!
Hey.
And let us never speak of it again.
Yep. Why was it called Battle of the Atom, please?
Because...
They're children of the Atom.
It sounded cool.
It sounded cool, yeah. And then that's just leading straight into the trial of Jean Grey and the whole Kitty Pride leaving the thing. And
deja vu. I've already feel like we've already seen the trial of Jean Grey.
Yeah.
About four times.
I think she should have just stayed.
Whatever
dead.
Happened to Double Jeopardy where you can't try a person for the same crime twice?
the other
Let's
cross...
Let's do AVX VX.
Plus X.
Isn't it AVX? It's AVX V Shield now, isn't it? AVX VS. So that's basically...
AVX plus X VX now.
No, there you go.
Don't give them ideas.
Point one.
Then.
Point one. Then. And there'll be 52 of them. Speaking of the new 52, the other massive crossover that was this week is Batman Zero Year, because Batman Zero Year is so important that it can't be contained to Batman. It's now spilt over into
Do you know what it felt like to me?
Everything.
It felt like to me they went, you know, this Zero Year thing's kind of cool, and we basically finished the story, but we're going to keep going and milking it anyway, and now let's infect every other book while we're at it.
Infect is such a good word, because none of the all these books... Batgirl's a great example. Batgirl, we've all been reading, loving Batgirl.
Oh, absolutely.
Gail Simone doing an amazing job on that. Yet we have to now, and they're just built up to a point because it's like this whole Batgirl fugitive thing. And now we just have to go back to
take some
time off and wait until...
And do a story that has absolutely no Batgirl
in
it.
And we just had the Villains Month where we had to wait a month between issues. Then we get the next issue that came out, and that was awesome, and we're left with a cliffhanger. Then we have to wait another month because they've had this other event in there. And DC keeps doing this. It's kind of like going, And
it makes me sick, man.
It does. They have not... Every other month seems to be an event. And that with most places, that would be an exaggeration. But with DC, it's a Wednesday, you know?
Except there's no events going on with the characters I like, man.
Look, another book that's made us wait a while, two books that made us wait a while. One of them is Shaolin Cowboy. I need to give that a really big shout out because I've been having an email conversation with the artist-writer Jeff Darrow, who is awesome. Great guy, really funny. We're trying to line up an interview with him, so look out for that soon. Shaolin Cowboy, if you like zombies and you like ninjas or Shaolin, get this book because the issue two is this one long zombie slashing fest.
Oh, right.
And it's amazing. It's really, really good. This guy does really, really insane stuff. The first volume of Shaolin Cowboy was a Shaolin cowboy on a talking mule going into the center of a giant beast too. it's insane. If you like the sound of it, then you're just the right level of humor. The other big shout out that's made us wait a while for issue 7 is Winter City. Which we had the Purcell boys on here a couple of weeks ago, and issue 7 of Winter City is finally out. Had a read of that this week, and it's really good. It really starts getting into the backstory.
I think I have something for that.
Hi, I'm Patrick Purcell, co-writer of Winter City.
Hi, I'm Carl Purcell, co-writer of Winter City.
And you're listening to Behind the Panels.
Aren't they cool?
They were very, very cool. And this one we find because we wanted to know a little bit more backstory about the little girl and the whole religious thing, and you really start getting rid of that. So it's a nice backstory issue, and the relationship between, the Reaper and his Jim Gordon equivalent starts to develop a little bit between the cops.
Okay.
So
I've actually got it, but I haven't read it yet, so I will read it.
Very, very, very quickly, because we're running out of time. We should just probably mention really quickly that Lego Superheroes Marvel came out this week.
Yes.
Yay. And we've all started playing it. And we'll probably go into more detail next week when we'll get...
Nicholas in, because he's been playing it heavily.
And he's a little bit of a Lego fan, I understand.
Just a little.
And if you haven't done it already, go check out his YouTube channel, NLM Productions.
YouTube.com/Nicky McVeigh.
Nicky McVeigh, well, there you go. terrific Lego videos that he puts
and
up on there.
Speaking of Lego, we should very quickly mention, if you haven't watched it yet, the trailer for the Lego movie, the most recent one,
fantastic.
Has a great Batman moment in it with him trying to hit a button.
First try.
First try. And, and Wonder Woman's jet.
Yeah.
And look, we haven't mentioned the game yet at all, but I want to. I want to say I probably played more Lego Marvel in the last 24 hours than I have of Batman Arkham Asylum since it's been out. So
I tend to do that with all the Lego games. Yeah. They come
Can
out,
I just put a really quick cap of Arkham Origins from you, Richard?
Sorry, Arkham Origins
just like
and Arkham Asylum.
Two words.
Yeah.
How are you going?
Oh, how am I going? Yeah. Lost interest.
Yeah.
That's my two
great
words.
Great statue.
Great statue, lost interest.
It's the forever evil of video games.
Yeah. On the TV front, a lot of stuff's been happening. Look, we won't go over last week's episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Arrow, except to say that they were both fantastic, actually.
And I'll go so far as to say that this week's episodes were actually pretty good, too.
True, yeah.
So.
Look, last week's S.H.I.E.L.D., I just have to single out because there were some beautiful moments between Fitz and Simmons, and I really, really, really liked that.
Actually, genuinely emotional episode.
Yeah, and that was finally the kind of character depth. And then this week, you know, the hub was cool because you got to see a bit of the S.H.I.E.L.D.'s.
Also, they bring in Victoria Hand.
Yeah. Well, the kind of thing, I had a bit of a problem with Victoria Hand. It's kind of like, you know, I'm waiting for somebody from the comics to come into this. Oh, they brought in that Brian Michael Bendis character no one's heard of. Great.
Oh, but she was a good character.
I mean, she's a good character.
See,
the thing is,
I read as a run.
Yeah, but she's not exactly Spider-Woman, is
no,
she?
No. But I read a run. I read the run all the way of Civil War through to the end of Bendis' run. Of that and New Avengers and Secret Avengers. And Victoria Hand plays quite heavily because she was Osborn's right hand during his time as leading S.H.I.E.L.D. And then when that all fell apart, they hired her. She promised to be good. And they hired her. And she was the manager, basically, for the New Avengers, for Luke Cage's people. And I really like her because nobody trusts her.
Okay, I will see your Victoria Hand.
Okay.
And raise you Deadshot. Black Canary. What's her name? The head of Argus.
Amanda Waller.
Amanda Waller. Yeah. Deathstroke. I will all in the one episode.
Yeah.
You know that
and Star Labs and the
and
mention
Star Labs,
of
yeah.
the accelerator coming
and
up.
Hive.
And Hive. And the mention of Hive. Yes.
Yeah. So this is you know, Arrow is doing what you want in a comic
book
show.
Oh, and next week they're bringing back Vertigo.
Yeah. So the Hive is Arrow is doing what you want in a comic book show. It is like just saying, why? We're based on a comic book. Let's start bringing in the characters from the comic book and putting them on screen.
I would like to point out in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though, we have what they have been tying into really, really nicely is all the one-shots. Because last week we had...
Actually, there was Sitwell in there.
Sitwell
and,
was in this week's episode. And in last week's episode, we had the... I forget what his name is, but the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who... they give the
from
two,
the item 47
from the item 47
yeah.
from the item 47 clip. So it's like we're starting to tie in all the one shots.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, look, at least they're doing that. And next week's S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be the cleanup from Thor episode.
Yeah,
so that'll be worth watching. Finally, like a proper crossover.
Maybe we'll find out why S.H.I.E.L.D. never answered the phone. Remember, Thor says they're not answering.
Can we just mention very, very quickly, because your theory about Tahiti and magic and all that sort of stuff was mentioned again this week. There were two references to Coulson's fate.
Can I also make mention that this is, remember going back 7 episodes or whatever it was that we're into this now, and I said Joss Whedon shows always take off about mid-season and they always take a while to get going. We've now introduced this whole Coulson Tahiti thing and they're now investigating what actually happened to him. We've started an ongoing story which will now take us to the end of the season. This is so Whedon.
Yeah, I know, but unfortunately it's taken this long to get there and I the ratings are still strong, but if this was any other show, I would have tuned out when I go, it's not grabbing
it's
me.
It's kind of like where I am at the moment. I've only watched 2.
Yeah,
no. I'm just kind of like, I've got them all banked up.
The last 2 episodes are definitely an improvement.
I think you're on the right track with your theory, because you said Tahiti, and he sort of says this time, it's a magical, and he sort of stops halfway through. Because I think that, though, was him saying something by rote. I think he realizes he's just said the same thing twice.
Yeah.
So whether or not it's not actually a magical place like Asgard, or whether it's Tahiti is a lab or something, because there's another reference in the episode where Sky says to him, he's acting like a robot version of himself.
I noticed that.
So I think that might be a subtle hint.
A little bit
as
too much iron in my blood.
Blood, yeah, and all that sort of stuff. So whether or not it's the life model decoy thing, and then he, you know, he doesn't have access to his own files and all that kind of stuff. So you know, as you said, they're really building towards something.
They're hopefully they'll pay off by the end of the season.
I think the truth is one of those theories, or maybe none of them, or maybe all of them.
Multiple
we don't know.
Coulsons.
Maybe there's multiple Coulsons. Yeah. So it's.
I like the fact that he's brought May in on it now, and it's like, yeah. So there's a lot going on.
No,
there.
It's like the movie Moon. Like he just has to kill his own clone.
You know, but part of me, because I don't like the cast generally. Part of me says, you know, they really need to sequest DSV the sucker, and then just replace the whole cast in the second season. Do you remember
next
that?
Week?
Sequest DSV was like not going well in its first season, but it was a solid concept. So they said, all right, let's get rid of the entire cast except for Roy Scheider.
It was interesting. The thing about Sequest DSV is they retconned it all in second season, except with Roy Scheider.
And then replaced it in third season.
And then
well.
Third season, they replaced him.
Yeah.
With who? Who replaces Roy Scheider?
It was Michael Ironside.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. We probably need to move on. We're going to do some news headlines this week. And what I've done this week is I've combined some of the headlines from last week and some of the headlines from this week.
Can I just throw one thing out there really quickly?
No.
Into what we've been reading, because we may do it in the future, because we've been talking about it a lot, right now on Comixology is a sale on Love and Rockets.
Ah, yes.
So it might be a good time to go out and grab it, even though we may not do it until next year.
I was told,
while it's cheap, let's grab it.
Also told cheap on Comixology, I'm not sure if it's still going on, From Hell, $3.99.
I think the Alan Moore sales ended.
Oh, okay.
That was an Alan Moore sale. I picked up Voodoo during that
time.
Right. And they had V for Vendetta and all this other wonderful Alan Moore stuff really cheap, like 99 cents an issue.
Yeah.
I think that's finished.
Okay, so that's good. But go check that out because, yeah, we're definitely doing some Love and Rockets at some
stage. Yeah, and it's actually, with Love and Rockets, it's actually the trades. So it's like $5.49 for the trades.
I think if you go to the Fantagraphics website, they give you a good reading order for those as well. Mm-hmm. So go check that out first.
I thought I'd just bring that up really quickly because our fans like to read along.
They certainly do. All right, it's time for some new headlines. New headlines. Well, they newish headlines, but that's why we call it
new-ish.
News, I guess. Here we go. And Thor the Dark World continues to hammer the international box office. At the time of recording, it has taken over $360 million worldwide to date.
Elizabeth Olsen has confirmed her role as Scarlet Witch in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Marvel has revealed the new Ms. Marvel will be a teenage Muslim shapeshifter. She is set to debut in February 2014 from writer G. Willow Wilson and artist Adrian Alfona.
Wow, way to take a character we all know and change it completely. Other new Marvel titles in February include a rebooted Fantastic Four with James Robinson writing and Leonard Kirk on art duties, Wolverine from Paul Cornell and Ryan Stegman, and the previously announced all-new Marvel Now relaunches. Oh, God.
DC will also launch Superman Lois Lane and Batman Joker's Daughter one-shots that month. Finally, two female characters defined by the men in their lives.
Fox has given their Fantastic Four film a release date of 19th of June 2015, while the Secret Service is pushed back to 6th of March 2015 release. This now officially makes 2015 the geekiest movie season on record.
Oh yeah. Publisher Fantagraphics is also looking for Kickstarter funding for their entire 2014 lineup of several hundred titles. I think they were asking for $150,000, and they got it within like a week.
Wow, okay. The CW and DC are reportedly developing a TV drama based on the obscure character Hourman and the Vertigo series iZombie.
That's right, Hourman.
Hourman. I had trouble pronouncing that.
Speaking of DC Comics, it's time to ask a question.
What's DC up to now?
Because Dan Didio has teased the DC event, The New 52, 5 years later, coming up for 2014, jumping every title ahead by 5 years with a weekly comic to fill in the gaps. We should also mention... Oh, go on. Yep.
I was about to say, we'll come back to this topic.
Yeah,
because
I want to talk about that a little
bit
more.
I've got a few things to say about that.
Yeah.
The Sandman Overture number 2 has been delayed, and there was much booing.
Yeah, it's been delayed from December
2013 to until February 2014. It's only 2 months, people.
That's a big... Because it was only coming out 2 months.
Because Sandman was never delayed, hey.
No, that's true.
That never happened.
Yeah. A little bit of sad news. Legendary Teen Titans and Aquaman artist Nick Carty died on November the 3rd at age 93. He will be fondly remembered by the comics community.
James Mangold and Hugh Jackman are said to be in talks to develop a third Wolverine film. Third? I can't remember there being two previously.
No,
there's
no.
There's only one, isn't there?
There was no. If only they'd done some sort of origin film, but
yeah, they didn't
I have no memory of that.
Can I ask you guys, what is Hugh Jackman developing for a Wolverine film?
It's like, more muscles.
Like HGH or something?
Yeah. look, before the final big story we have to announce, before we get back to that, what's DC up to now, Marvel and Netflix, you may have heard this, fellow geeks, have announced plans to release Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and the Defenders TV and miniseries from 2015. Drew Goddard has been tapped for Daredevil, and Melissa Rosenberg of Twilight fame is said to be heading up Jessica Jones.
Oh, I'm done.
And I've lost the ability.
And I'm spent.
I'm spent.
I was so excited I lost the ability to speak halfway through.
Look, I look at this and I just go, street level, Hell's Kitchen, four different heroes working, all who work together in some capacity or another. Jessica Jones finally coming to Netflix, which means censorship is a little bit more lax because Jessica Jones swears a lot, as we know.
Yeah, yeah.
This would be the meeting of Jessica Jones and Power Man or Luke Cage that we could actually get the whole baby and everything else going in there. They were both bodyguards to Daredevil or Matt Murdock at one point. This is just the most exciting news I've heard ever.
What I found really interesting is I think that it wasn't Kevin Feige, it was another, I think it could be either the Netflix guy or one of the Marvel head honchos or somebody at Disney. Actually, it was Bob Iger. I think it was actually Bob Iger from Disney who was saying that, they chose characters who probably wouldn't be popular enough for a big screen adventure, but they had their fan bases and they wanted to do something with them. Now, how far has Daredevil fallen in their graces after Ben Affleck?
They don't want to do anything
if he's
Man
not,
of Steel related.
Like, that's how tainted Ben Affleck has made that character.
I didn't hate that Daredevil.
I didn't hate it. And if you get the extended cut, it's actually a lot better.
Yeah, it's like a lot better. But the thing is, I mean, I can understand their appreciation. I can understand what they're thinking here. Because Daredevil, as much as... like Mark Waid's run of Daredevil is amazing, as much as Bendis's run of Daredevil was amazing.
Frank Miller.
I mean, Daredevil's been this amazing character, but he's not mainstream. He never has been. He's always been kind of this.
At his height, he was. He's a good seller. The end of the Mark Waid run is not due to lack of sales. It's just due to it came.
But you think about superheroes, you think of Spider-Man, Superman, Batman.
Yeah, that's true.
You think of the big A-listers. I mean, even Iron Man was not an A-lister until they turned him into
an A-lister.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was
going to
say.
Like,
none of the Marvel characters were.
Well, Spider-Man.
In the universe.
Yeah.
In the Marvel universe
now. Well, Hulk was.
Hulk
he had a TV
was,
series,
and Captain America probably was. I mean, Captain America's pretty up there. He's their flagship, literally. but Iron Man was a B-list character. For comic geeks, we loved him. Mm. But the general audience was like, who the hell's Iron Man? What the hell's the story with that? You know? And they managed to turn him into a megastar.
And I have to admit that when I came in 2008, when that film came out, I've been a comics reader for years, but I wasn't a huge Marvel comics reader. And Iron Man wasn't a character I paid a lot of attention to, even at that
absolutely.
Stage. Now, I love all things Iron Man. I've been an Iron Man fan forever. What are you doing? You're just catching up.
So I look at it this way. I go, this is a perfect test run. 13 episodes a season. They'll put them all out in one big block. We got the little miniseries at the end.
It sounds like they're doing kind of the television equivalent to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's exactly right.
The four miniseries and then... the full 13-episode series.
And then throw a four-episode miniseries where you put the four of them together into one movie.
Making Defenders.
If Daredevil rates its ass off in this thing, then they know they can move him into the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing.
Or bring more characters in to the Netflix.
That's
world.
Exactly right. Oh, move more characters in the Netflix, and those at work can move into the Avengers stream.
It's a real shame that they didn't sort of like lead with this concept because... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as we kind of implied, is not their strongest foot forward on television. It is a watered down, no matter what way you look at it, it's a watered down Marvel Cinematic Universe. And because it's always going to get compared to Thor and the Avengers and Iron Man. And how can you compare to a multi-billion-dollar picture?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And unfortunately, that's always going to be the problem with it. Now, these may look a little rougher around the edges, but... that's kind of the look that they're going for.
But Netflix is throwing money at stuff.
Yeah,
House of Cards and Orange is the New Black are
high
production.
Absolutely. No, they're very...
they're going to throw some money at this.
They're amazing looking shows. And actually, they look better than anything on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. So
House of Cards is like the best shot thing.
So I haven't seen House of Cards is I've only seen bits and pieces of House of Cards. I really want to go and watch it. But I watched all of Orange is the New Black, and which I adored.
Yeah, I recommend you watch House of Cards.
It may even make you want to go and get ribs down in
Freddy's barbecue.
Barbecue, yeah.
Anyway, that's very esoteric. Let's move
on. It's not even remotely comic related, except for the Netflix connection. Yep.
The other thing I want to mention was this DC.
Okay, the DC thing. Now, every September they have a gimmick now. No, and that's not even, I'm not even being facetious with that. That's the company mandate.
Yeah, he's not.
You know, we do have a book to talk about this week, so we'll get into that in a minute. But very, very quickly, DC, they've teased and almost confirmed that their next event will be 5 years later. I have two problems with this, apart from the fact that DC launched the new 52 with a premise that clean slate, we're going to build our way up and do all these crazy things. And now, and as you've pointed out to me before the show, David, Justice League number one
starts with five years ago.
and then it's built its way up to now. Now we're jumping five years ahead. So presumably 10 years from the start of Justice League.
Can we just remind people how confused we were between Action Comics and Superman?
Yeah.
And the time frame between those two books. We were so confused by this.
This is their way, I think, of getting everything up to the same point again quickly. But DC seems to think that we're all idiots.
Yeah.
Because, with very short memories, because 2006, Final Crisis, or possibly Infinite Crisis, I can't remember which crisis it was, they did an
event. There's so many.
No, they did an event called 1 Year Later, where they jumped every book forward a year and had a weekly series catching you up. What are they doing this time? 5 years later with a weekly series catching you up. It's the exact same event that they did five, 6 years ago. They're doing the same thing with the current Forever Evil arc. They've got a series in there called Rogue's Rebellion, which is exactly the same as the Rogue's book that they pulled out Final War. Everything is about the end. Also, while we were ranting about DC, I did mention in what we've been reading, because it wasn't this week, the Justice League got sucked into Firestorm's head. That's where they went to. Okay? That is the big mystery reveal. I'm sorry, DC, you... really starting to test the patience.
What book is that? I was actually going to ask you, Richard, are you done yet?
Hang on. Is that revealed in?
That's in one of the Forever Evil books. No, possibly a Justice League book. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Because I read Justice League. It's not in there.
They've all melded into one.
I think that's awesome.
Oh, man.
I didn't even know if it was real Firestorm or evil Firestorm's head, but it's one of... That's where they are at the moment. They've been sucked into Firestorm's head, just like I got sucked into the new 52. Yeah.
I'm nearly done, hey?
I'm spent.
Yeah, I mean, DC, I just want DC, one more DC. Zero year. One more.
Can
zero
I can
year.
I just tell you, can and I just tell you as well that I just read World's Finest this week as well, which is the most recent Power Girl Huntress. This series is just dying fast. Now we have her, and her power is failing her, and so she's kind of like sometimes has powers, sometimes doesn't have powers. Captain Marvel, anyone?
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm sitting there going, yeah.
Before we move on very quickly, really, really should give a shout out to Earth 2 number 17.
Oh, great book!
Which is a fantastic book. All Australian creative team, Tom Taylor, Nicola Scott. More information, go to our website.
All I want to say is, way to go, Tom. You saved a series.
Yeah.
Nicola's artwork was always good. That was not in question. But boy, you just go, let's completely change this.
Yeah.
Let's get this.
And James Robinson gave him a real killer of an ending, which was that Brutale, Darkseid's right-hand man, was Superman the whole time. And Tom Taylor's just gone with that, reintroduced Batman, a bunch of other characters. It is an awesome book.
It's an awesome book, and I can't wait to see what comes next. Tom, you're on the winning side.
Now it's time for the Kick-Ass Pick of the Week.
Well, see how you like this.
What is it, Batman?
Whatever it is, it's awfully funny.
It's the Pick of the Week.
An abomination, long thought buried, has resurfaced in a war-torn land. But now, it wears an American flag. Faced with another nightmare reborn, Captain America will not stand for yet more death at the hands of a ghost from his past. Haunted by his greatest failure, Thor must renew the hunt for a familiar beast. At their side, an assemblage of allies unite to end the threats no one of them can face alone. They are soldiers, warriors, comrades in arms. They are the Avengers. Avengers: Endless Wartime, a Marvel original graphic novel.
And that was an awesome little trailer. I didn't know they actually had that.
That was actually the first time I haven't had to do an intro because there was an official trailer for a book.
Cool.
Which was great. And I think it was appropriate because this is the relaunch, effectively, of the Marvel graphic novel line.
Yeah.
Which was a big deal in the 80s and 90s. And now they're even cooler because they're these little, I've got it here in front of me, it's a little hardcover now. As opposed to the prestige format books. And this is the, they're not coming out quite as regularly as those ones did back in the 80s and 90s, but there's another one coming out, I think, in April next year, and it's like Spider-Man Family Business. So this is something kind of exciting because it's the relaunch.
And it's a good little relaunch. I mean, it's well put together. It's beautifully drawn.
This is Mike McCone's art is really, really lovely, but of course it's Warren Ellis's script, which is really sucks you in from the start. Of course, if you get this hardcover edition, there is a introduction by Clark Gregg. At the start.
I read that.
Yeah. The basic story, I guess, one of you guys want to handle this? Because I, you know, it's been a couple
Look,
of weeks.
Look, yeah, I read it a couple of weeks as well. But basically, the story is that the U.S. apparently has new weapons. They're living drones. And on looking at these...
A very timely kind of story.
At these drones, Thor immediately identifies them as being something from his past, as well as Captain America identifying it as something from his past in the 40s and experimental warfare from then. So the Avengers basically get together because they find out that S.H.I.E.L.D. has decided to put some of these on American soil, and so they want to stop this before it actually happens. We assemble the Avengers, funnily enough, mostly the movie lineup, with the inclusion of Captain Marvel.
Yeah, it's actually really nice to see Captain Marvel.
And Wolverine.
And Wolverine, correct. Mm. But the most of the... And then it's all about basically personal demons as well as quite literal demons.
This could pretty much be a pretty good sequel to the Avengers movie.
This would make a good film. Yeah. And
if they filmed it like that, it'd be fine.
What I love about this book, I think, more than the story itself, is I love the character work in this. I think that the combination of using a little bit of the movie characters as we know them and a little bit of Matt Fraction's characters as we know them.
Very much so.
Hawkeye is so much a Matt Fraction character, and the way that they all relate to him is brilliant.
I like it. This is Clint Barton. I might be late. Shake a leg. We have to get meeting in a week. Get here. I might be lost. I don't believe you. I might also be in a dumpster. I believe you. and they're all ribbing Hawkeye throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. All the way through it, they hassle Hawkeye. And I think that's one of them. I hope they bring some of that into the next Avengers movie, actually. Because
my favorite thing is the Captain America bias that Warren Ellis seems to have throughout it. Because it's so refreshing when Tony Stark is not considered to be the leader or the best person in the group. You know, like, it's back to the Marvel of old. You know, he's just a tech head.
Cap
is
the leader.
And I love that the one sequence in this where his technology fails him and he literally can't move.
Yeah.
And they're saying, get up. And he's going, I can't.
Yeah. Isn't there a thing at the beginning where, I can't remember, it's been a couple of weeks since I read it, but isn't there a bit at the beginning where he can't even make a simple cup of coffee because he's so used to being in his...
It's the Captain America sequence where Jarvis says, I'll make you coffee, and Captain America says, I'm not comfortable with having a butler. And he goes, yes, but you don't actually know how to use the coffee maker.
I mean, the great thing is we get some great World War II scenes in this as well. I'm just looking through
the plane sequence.
There's an awesome plane sequence in there with Cap as well, and this kind of supports your bias towards Cap sort of thing. And it's great. He sort of swings in through the front of this giant German plane that's kind of alien tech as well. It's really, you're right. This is taking all the best bits from all the classic Avengers stories and movies, because you've got the Nazis in there, you've got Asgardian warriors, you've got Cap in the Second World War and in the current day, you've got Tony Stark, you've got all the Avengers that we love together,
and you've got Captain Marvel without angst. Because a lot of Captain Marvel lately has all been very angsty. And, you know, Kelly Sue is doing a great job with that, and it's all about her memory. But this is just classic Captain Marvel. Just get in there and be a superhero, you know?
Yeah, which is exactly what we want. I mean, she's a great addition. She fits in easily with this cast. And given that this is designed to be for a wider audience than your average, because it's a one-off book. This is the sort of book that you'd go in, if someone said, I just want a good one-off Avengers story, I don't want anything fancy, you'd give them this book. Because it's kind of, and the fact that Kelly Sue's version of Captain Marvel fits in so lovely into that story is a real testament and a real roadmap to the movie universe to say, yeah, you can have more female leads in there as well. This is how you do it. And you just introduce them.
There's a wonderful moment, Captain Marvel moment where she walks in and Jarvis says, "Hello, Colonel Danvers." And she goes, "While I'm in this uniform, I'm Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And then later she says to Captain America, "I outrank you." He says, "I thought when you were in that uniform, you were Captain Marvel."
And I think this is probably what Ellis has done so well in this book. He's got the witty repartee between all the Avengers.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I think that's what makes this, like the film. Like the film had all those nice little comic moments.
Mm.
You know, that's what you want. And this is what comics are at their best. And you don't have to have read, 50 years worth of Avengers stories to get the jokes in this either. It's just good. I think one of you said a few minutes ago, it's really good human interaction.
Yeah.
Is what really...
That was my favorite thing about the book. The plot is actually kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
oh, the plot's... When I was actually trying to think of... Well, that's why I asked you to recount it for me, because my memory of it was stupid.
Yeah, the plot... by the time you get to the ending and you got the big monsters and blah, and you start kind of going, all right, this is just ridiculous territory. But that's okay.
But they play to it so well.
They play with it so well, and it's such a comic book plot. That's fine.
Like Bruce Banner being angry... He's just like, come on, get me there, quick,
We can't have him turn into Quinjet.
And then he does, doesn't he? And then
they get him out just in time.
Yeah. I think that's like about, like, oh, we can get a new Quinjet easily anyway.
But there's also a wonderful Banner moment in it where he says, what you don't understand is that he is me.
Yeah.
And because they actually say it wasn't you who killed all those monsters, it was him. And I love the fact that he goes, you guys have never understood that he is me.
Yeah.
You know, and he's sitting there shaking in the bottom of the pit because he's turned back to Banner and he knows what he's done. And that's an amazing moment.
Actually, I really like that he pushes the limits of all the characters. See, there's one moment, and I've just opened up to it now, where it's Wolverine's been battered around a bit, and we're all used to him like healing within 30 seconds, and he's lying there on the floor battered, and just give me a minute. and it really is those little beats where it's kind of like even Warren Ellis is recognizing this book can get ridiculous. These characters can get ridiculous. They're not immortals. You know, these are humans after all. They just have pretty special abilities.
Yeah.
You know,
he just gets it though, doesn't he?
I love Warren Ellis. I think Ellis has got a really good
stuff. What about the bit where Thor is like, he just can't wait on the Quinjet, so he just dives out. He just dives out with a hammer, and they're like, he's just faster than us. Like,
what do you say? Not faster than us.
It's like little beats like that could easily fit into, the cinematic universe.
It's a really good book, and I think if you are new to comics at all, or you listen to us every week and you kind of wonder what our obsession about all this is a really good starting point. This will really kind of get you into the mood for Avengers in particular, for that, because you get a good feeling for all of the characters in one go.
Yeah, we often get asked, what would you recommend as a introduction? And this has only just come out in the last month or so. So this is now definitely on my books to recommend to newbies list.
Yeah, absolutely.
The artwork by Mike McCone I'm not going to go and say it's my favorite art ever. Mm. It's not my style of art. It's very much that blockbuster mainstream art.
It's my style of art.
Yeah, and because this is a very classic story. Yeah. It's a very classic art style, and it works really well. Mm. That's exactly what you want.
And it's colored and inked like beautifully.
Yeah, no,
it's
look beautifully. And look, the actual physical presentation of this book, everything about it is really beautiful, really lovely. I mean, Marvel have gone all out to make this a special edition of the book. And like everything else that they've done, if you buy the hardcover, there's a little sticker inside with a free digital copy to download.
Fantastic.
As well. Yeah. So you can stick this on your shelf, read your digital copy, whatever you want. You can take it wherever you go.
I read it digitally. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's... So did I. That's and I think that's the Marvel are doing the digital physical divide really, really well. DC are doing it pretty well as well.
Both companies actually have embraced digital pretty full on now, and good for them, because let's face it, digital is the way it's going to happen in time. It's the same thing that's happening with newspapers. Right
it's
now,
how so. We're going to get new readers, which is one of the stories I ended up dropping because it was a few weeks old now. Was about Sex Criminals number 2 getting dropped from iOS, and one of my arguments I always make with this digital gatekeeper argument is the whole idea that if there is a company, it doesn't matter if it's Apple, doesn't matter if it's Comixology, doesn't matter if it's whoever the third party is, Kindle, whatever. If there is a company that's saying, no, this is good taste, bad taste, we now have a gatekeeper to how we get our content.
Yeah, you know? this is the comics code all over again.
Yeah, and that really is the problem.
What's interesting, though, is that Sex Criminals number 2 was pulled. How is Sex doing at the moment? Because Sex issue 8, I think it is, the most recent issue.
No, I've stopped reading it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It is like hardcore pornography on every second page. And you said including gay and straight.
Book is called Sex.
Absolutely. I'm just wondering how this is still getting through.
Unfortunately, in Avengers Endless Wartime, there's not as much sex.
There should be, though, because Natasha Romanoff is gorgeous in it.
and so is Thor, and so is Tony Stark. They're all beautiful looking.
Actually, the relationship between Black Widow and
Thor's got beautiful
and
hair.
Hawkeye is fantastic.
Sorry, did
book.
I say bias before? I meant bye.
That was actually, I don't know which edition you read. There's two editions you can get of this book. There's the red label edition, which must have been the one you picked up.
Mine was the one that was banned on the iOS.
That's the right,
It's the Avengers XXX porn parody.
There was
just called Avengers.
It was Alan Moore's Lost Avengers. Yeah, that's what we picked.
Lost Heroes.
Lost Heroes. Look, I'm going to give this a big solid recommend. We've sort of had to barrel through this one a little bit quicker this week because we had so much content. We are doing 2 weeks worth of
absolutely. And look, I would say go out, read this. This is worth
this. This isn't Comics 101, but it's a very, very good book to go and read. It's a highly recommended book.
It's a fun read.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. We all had fun reading this, didn't we?
It's actually a fun read when you're coming off of, you know, trying to grind your way through Infinity or grind your way through Battle of the Atom, or, you know, you're kind of going, all right, I'm a little bit shell-shocked here. I just need something light. And you pick this one, you go, this is nice.
In fact, for the rest of the year, we're doing fun books. Next week, we're doing a Hellboy book, and we're doing some Green Arrow and some Power Girl, and we're doing a Christmas special. So, look, we're taking it easy on our reading list for the rest of the year because there's still so many heavy events coming out.
We got some intense stuff.
Like Inhumanity and all that stuff.
And there's
happening.
Just like so much to read. Like,
I think what we may need to do at some point in the new year is we may need to... hello, you're moving mics on me. In the new year, we may need to spend like 3 or 4 weeks just going away from the new stuff. And just hitting some classics because the new stuff is just not leaving us with a good taste at the moment.
With a palate
Spider
refresher.
Island.
Yeah. Oh, stop it. Mike Wheeler has been going crazy on Twitter about this.
Yeah, Mike Wheeler's been trying to convince us to do
Spider Island. We're going
to
do it. I promise.
Well, while we're talking about Mike Wheeler, David, I think it's time maybe you should hit up the girl from Ipanema so we can do that here. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening.
She just brings the room down.
Look, a couple of things while we're in the feedback. Yes, Mike Wheeler from Canada has been, or I should say Mike Wheeler, a.k.a. Mike from Canada. Has been banging on about Spider Island again. I told him, he said, is it something, you know, what you're talking about doing? I said that David and I don't talk anymore. We record this show in separate rooms.
That's like a glass window between us.
No, we do it at different times. It's actually amazing. It's actually amazing that it matches up so well.
Yeah, I agree. It's a miracle of editing.
We spend like that's why it's weekly.
I send him a transcript of what I've said, and he just fills in the
gaps. Yeah. So, if it's a little disjointed or slightly surrealist sometimes, like that.
That's when I send him an answer and he has to make up the question.
Yeah, I just assumed that there was that one week it was about a llama. And it really, really wasn't what you were talking about. So, my apologies to everybody who listened to the Llamagate episode. Llamagate. We actually have some giveaways this week.
Oh, yay!
We have very excited. We have 2 Blu-ray copies of Man of Steel to give away.
Oh, well, that's a letdown.
We're giving them away because we don't want them.
No.
Look, Man of Steel, it's like you guys have both watched it again this week and said it ages a little bit better than the original viewing.
A little. I've listened to Geek Movie Club this week and we're actually going to talk about it a little bit. I think we're going to go on record and say that I enjoyed it better the second time. Mm. I don't know if that actually improves the film, but we'll talk about more about the Geek Movie
Club. To sweeten the deal, any of our listeners can enter this. So if you want to share the competition, get more people to listen to the show.
Yeah, this is for the listeners
only. So this is just because you people have downloaded and made it this far into the show, you're getting a chance to win 1 of 2 copies of the Blu-ray of Man of Steel. It's Warner, so it's region free.
Are we going to send internationally?
Yeah, what the hell? We'll send it internationally.
Oh my God.
And also, to sweeten the deal, We've also got, with each copy, a copy of the Man of Steel, the early years prequel novel that came out at the same time.
And that's because we don't want that.
We really don't want that. It's just merchandise, people. And also to sweeten it, because you may not have seen this at conventions or what have you, we're going to throw in some stickers and a few badges and things as well.
Absolutely. We'll make a little package for
behind
you.
The panels, just so you can to thank
and
you
what
for
do they
listening.
Have to do to win this little cavalcade
of gifts? All I have to
gifts.
Do, well, first of all, I have to listen to the show. So I'm assuming if you got this far, you've done that much. Then you have to email us at feedback@behindthepanels.net with the subject heading Man of Steel and tell us why you think Man of Steel is worth watching a second time.
And we will pick a winner, well, two winners at random.
Yep, and then we'll probably do that not next week, the week after that.
And if you make your answers witty, they'll probably be read on the air.
Definitely. And just a reminder, if you want to give us feedback, that email address is feedback@behindthepanels.net. You can always hit us up on Behind the Panels on Facebook, and you can leave us a message there. You can always leave us a Skype voicemail message on Skype ID Geek, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, if you really, really want to show your love for this show, and this is all you have to do, quite literally, is go to iTunes, leave us some feedback, leave us a positive rating. It will take 3 seconds out of your life. Okay, maybe 30 seconds out of your life. Very little time. You spend an hour listening to us prattle on, so 30 seconds is nothing.
Do it while you're listening to
do
the
it
show.
While listening. Do it now before we finish rattling on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've made our weeks, quite frankly, and we will read your comments out on the show.
I just thought, well, one thing we didn't say about the Man of Steel competition, we didn't give a closing date.
Oh, I said I'd announce it week show after next. So let's
issue
just,
70, no, issue 80.
Issue 80. So any time up until we record issue 80, which is 2 weeks from
and
now.
And if, you know, we go by our current schedule, it means you've got until next year to
sometime until next year, yeah. But next week, issue 79, will be us doing Hellboy the Midnight Circus.
I better read it.
By me too. It's another original graphic novel. This one's a prequel to Hellboy, which we did quite a while ago. So you don't have to have any previous Hellboy knowledge to read this one. It's also another brand new graphic novel.
It's also on Comixology, I believe.
Also on Comixology. Oh, it's Dark Horse. It's probably on the Dark Horse app because I'm not sure how much Dark Horse stuff goes out through Comixology, but it is available digitally, definitely. It's about the same size as this week's pick, maybe a little lighter. Again, you don't have to have read any other Hellboy books to get into this one. It's a very, very nice, light little book by Hellboy creator Mike Mignola. So look forward to that one next week. Any other comments before we sign off, boys?
I don't think so. I think that's everything I've got.
That looks and feels like a show.
Yeah, it's about the right length for a show and everything.
Yeah, I think we've done this.
I think
nicely.
It's time for the flashback.
Yeah, I think we should. This is the point of the show where we cancel the show and relaunch it.
Remember that time when you were young and you used to run around, you know,
5 years
with a
earlier.
Cape on,
yeah, yeah. Modeling.
Hey, 5 years later, I'm behind the panel.
That's what we're doing. I hate you all so much.
Spider Island was pretty good.
Remember that time we did Spider Island? That's what we'll do. We'll just do a show 2 months in the future, and in that 2 months, we did Spider Island.
No, what we'll do is
and that way we've done it.
Now, what we'll do is we'll send Richard a few years into the past to review Spider Island for us, because then we won't have to in the present.
Oh, that's good too. That's good too. I like that. I like that. I think we
days
need to get
of
out
panels
of
past.
Oh, now I know the title of my new Bendis biography.
Oh, I got it. Panels, Secret Origins.
Oh, there you go. Panels, the 0 year.
Forever panels.
All right. So while if you've enjoyed listening to us prattle on the fantastic, you can find us in lots of other places. You can find me at the at DVD Bits on Twitter, at the recently spam cleansed therealbits.com. And also you can find me, of course, at behindthepanels.net and our other weekly, well, I'm not going to say weekly podcast.
Yeah, no, don't make that promise.
Our other occasional podcast, Geek Movie Club. David McVeigh, where can you find me?
GeekActually.com, which is the home of the aforementioned irregular Geek Movie Club. And you can find me here, of course, at Behind the Panels and on Twitter at David McVeigh.
Yeah, you can find me at Dave Longo on Twitter and damngoodcup.com, which is in the middle of being redesigned.
Oh,
and
hey.
We are coming back on Thursday with a Hunger Games Catching Fire review.
Excellent. Oh, yay. Yes, because we'll be seeing that probably. We will have to do a Geek Movie Club at least the next couple of weeks, because we'll be seeing Hunger Games Catching Fire.
Yes.
So
we're
going to have to cover that one. Until next week, I'm Richard Gray.
I'm Dave McVeigh.
And I'm Dave Longo.
And this is Behind the Panels.